Joining me to discuss the latest developments and what they mean as the continent grapples for a solution is Leonard Doyle of the International Organization for Migration. Leonard Doyle, welcome. So now as we see more and more countries offering to take in tens of thousands of these migrants, is that going to be sufficient to accommodate all of them?
Well, we'll have to wait and see. First of all, thank you so much for having me on. But the generosity that's been seen from the European public is extraordinary. And we're seeing that they're ahead of the politicians, who quite often are fearful of the right wing, or indeed fearful of the cost, the budgetary implications of bringing in migrants and refugees. But what we're seeing is encouraging, but it's also going to bring a tidal wave of new people from Syria. There are 11 million displaced people, and word is out that they're welcome in Europe. So let's expect to see lots more on the way.
So, in other words, just the idea that they're now accepting them sends a signal it's okay for more to come.
Indeed, and this has, of course, been the fear of politicians, is the so-called pull factor, that if you open your doors too wide and give too much of a welcome, you'll encourage more and more to come. And indeed, it's the price that they're paying for the lack of decisions, lack of a coherent policy, and lack of a system to bring people in an orderly and managed way. Because it's so chaotic, you see people coming across in boats and indeed drowning, like that tragic scene of the young Syrian boy that moved international hearts and minds so much over the last couple of days.
We know, Leonard Doyle, that many of the migrants and refugees had already left Syria, Afghanistan, other places, the African continent, to go to other countries in the region, Turkey, Jordan, Lebanon, for example. Why is it not sufficient for them to stay in some of these countries that are closer to home?
Well, it's a good question. I think if they had any confidence that Syria was any day soon going to return to stability, they would probably stay because, you know, it's refugees, displaced people don't like leaving home. They've got very good bonds of kinship and bonds to their country. They don't want to leave that behind. But I think the despair at what's happening in Syria, the lack of any political solution, means that they're moving on. And who would want to stay in a camp in Jordan, however safe that camp may be? These are people who want to raise their kids, want to get education for them, and want to move on in life. So even though they may be technically safe where they are, they want to get a proper security for their future. And I think that's really what this is telling us. It's a proper indictment of the international community, really, for not sorting out the problems in Syria to ensure that innocent people are not suffering.
Why don't we see countries like Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Bahrain, Qatar taking in refugees? What's going on there?
Well, that is a very good question. There's been a lot of criticism pointed at the Gulf states, but some of it is misplaced. They have paid, you know, inordinate amounts of money towards the humanitarian cause of Iraq and indeed of Syria. They've taken in vast numbers of people. A key difference is that they're not offering them a track towards citizenship. They're not offering them asylum status. And, you know, refugees, they know what they want, and they want a secure place to be in the future. And so I think they're voting with their feet and going elsewhere, even though it's culturally quite different for them, perhaps. And it's an indictment, in a way, of the lack of welcome that they're not getting from the Arab states. And I think it's been a wake-up call for them, too.
Leonard, does it matter how we refer to these people, whether we call them migrants or refugees? How do you see that?
Well, it is indeed very important. You have the refugees are a specific category, those who are fleeing war or human rights abuses, and they're entitled to asylum under international law, under the Convention of 1951. So it's not for governments to decide. It's an international compact. Now, if everybody's going to be called a refugee, then governments will be reluctant to extend that welcome as they should. So I think it's terribly important we remember that the broad mass are called migrants, those who are moving for all sorts of reasons, whether for human rights reasons or whether for economic improvement. They could also be people being trafficked, sex trafficking, labor trafficking, or indeed unaccompanied minors, young children. So it's important to keep the distinction. They're all migrants, but within them there's very specific categories who need protection.
Do you have a good sense now of what it is, what kinds of services they're going to be provided once they arrive in these destination countries, whether it's Germany or France or the UK or someplace else? What are they getting when they get there?
Well, I think one thing that's happened is that these countries have been shamed really into opening their doors and into providing proper care and assistance for them. Whereas they may have been trying to cut down for budgetary reasons, their public opinion has said it's not good enough. So now they can expect to be housed properly. They may be put in temporary housing like barracks, but they'll be fed and clothed, and they'll be given integration packages to help them learn the new culture that they're in. Language courses, clothing, care for their children. Many of them need psychosocial help. They've had horrific experiences where they've come from. So I think the ones who make it into the European Union are the lucky ones. Those who perhaps stay in the refugee camps in Jordan and Lebanon or indeed Turkey, maybe not so lucky.
And just finally, for people watching who want to help in some way, whether they're in the United States or somewhere else, what can they do?
Well, there are many ways of people can extend their generosity, and one way is, of course, to donate. Our own organization, International Organization for Migration, has a website called USAIM, and there are many others, where we would really encourage people to contribute because it makes a big difference. Looking after one refugee family is a very costly exercise, one migrant family equally. And it's not easy to do this. And if you can't help them directly, well, let's help them indirectly, because to see innocent people suffering in this way is shocking in the extreme.
Leonard Doyle with the International Organization on Migration, we thank you.
Thank you very much, Judy, for having me on.